Good evening. So glad to be back one more time, and I'm so excited to be in the house of the Lord today because this is my first time coming to church today. Because we have a lot of cancellation. With Pastor Stickman, he was supposed to have Sunday morning service, and I was supposed to speak this morning there, but because of the snow and everything, the storm coming our way there in Bethlehem, he decided to have service on Saturday, so we kept the Sabbath day holy yesterday. So we had service yesterday, so this morning I felt so bad to stay home. I never, since my salvation, I never missed church, never. I just want to be at church on Sunday morning to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved me. I don't want to miss. So I was just praying. I said, Lord, I want to go to church. Where should I go? So a few places like Pastor Mawson, he canceled his evening service, and Pastor Schweitzer, he already canceled his service because of the storm and everything. So so I texted Pastor Madrid, and finally, yes, this is the right place, sounds like. So I appreciate Pastor. Thank you for having me again. And so I'm going to do a PowerPoint presentation. So I've got a secret chamber down here. Just give me a sec. Here we go. So I'm going to do what God is doing in Persia. So God is doing a lot in Persia. All you hear in the media, in the news, that, terrorism, Iranians killing people and doing terrorism and supporting Hezbollah and Hamas and all the terrorists. And all you hear about terrorism, about Persia, but God is doing a lot in our country. So you'll be amazed after this presentation how God is working and saving souls there in that country. The reason that I chose this name Persia is that's biblical. The name Persia was used always since King Cyrus all the way till 1935 when they changed the name to Iran. So 1935 they changed to Iran. We don't say Iran, we say Iran. So Persia was the name that we always used. So let's see what God is doing in Persia. So that's the map of our country, the red one. And so this is the map. The capital is called Tehran. And I was born right there. I grew up there. My friend Mahyar, I'm so privileged to have him tonight with his fiancée Rebecca. And so glad to have them tonight. And he's from Ahvaz, is that right? Ahvaz, that's amazing. You know what? It's very close to Elam. I'm going to tell you about Elam. So the Tehran is the capital, and the population is 12 million and a half. And also the country population is 80 million. 80 million is the country population. So I want to speak about the origin of our country. Who founded our country? Because after the flood, we had 8 souls who got saved out of the flood. And Noah had 3 sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. All the world, all the nations came out of these 3 sons of Noah. So let's read Genesis chapter 10, verse 22. Let's just turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 10. And we're going to read verse 22. Shem had 5 sons. So verse 22. The children of Shem. The first one is called Elam. And the second one, Asher. And Arphaxad. And Lud. And Aram. So you see, Shem had 5 sons. The first one is called Elam, who was the founder of our country, Iran. So you might say, how do you know that? Well, as I mentioned, if you go to our country, this is the map of Iran on the west. The city is called Elam. My friend is coming from Ahvaz, which is somewhere there, I think. So Elam is the city which has about 500,000 population today. You can go to that city and visit that city of Elam today. And above that, there is Shushan. Shushan, the palace where Esther and Nehemiah was. So Elam was the founder of our country. After the flood, God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. And go around the world, scatter and fruitful and multiply. And so Elam went to that part of the world and he started his family. And slowly the number grew and multiplied became bigger and became city, and then later on it became a country that King Cyrus was the first king who established a kingdom in our country. But the second one is Asher, which is Assyria, and the third one is Arphaxad. And let's read verse 24, same chapter, chapter 10, verse 24. And Arphaxad begat Selah, and Selah begat Eber. So who knows who Eber is? Eber or Heber or Hebrews. Hebrews came out of Eber. Eber was the father of Hebrews. Abraham was a Hebrew. In Genesis 14, verse 13, we read about him. So you see, these are Jews. Jews came out of Arphaxad, and Persians, Elam was the founder of Persia. So Persians and the Jews are brothers. They were descendants of Shem, not Ham. These are Arabs. Arabs came out of Ham. So don't call us Arabs. We'll get offended. We are Persians. So most people are. They want to give me like Bible, for Arabic Bible, and they give me like Arabic tracts when I say I'm Persian. They think that I'm an Arab. I say I'm not Arab. I'll get offended if you say that. So, because Persians hate Arabs and Arabs hate Persians. I don't hate them. I have no right to hate anybody. In Christ, we have to love all people. But usually Persians, if they're not saved, they'll hate Arabs. And Arabs hate Persians. But anyway, so we not Arabs, we Persians. These are descendants of, Arabs are descendants of Ham. Persians and the Jews are descendants of Shem. So they brothers. You know what, in Iran, if you live there, you are commanded to go on the street a few times a year, like 3-4 times a year, to protest, to say death to the little Satan, death to big Satan, America, and death to little Satan, Israel. That's how I grew up. I grew up cursing America, cursing you, and cursing Israel. And I apologize for that, because I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about the true God. So I was cursed with Islam. Islam had cursed me. I was cursed, so I was cursing people. But now, in Jesus Christ, I've been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, Bible tells us. I've been blessed. I want to bless America. I want to bless Israel. I bless Arabs. I bless all people because I've been blessed. So Islam curses people. That's sad. So Shem. Shem in Hebrew means name. God wanted to reveal a name which is above every name, through Shem. Blessed be the Lord God of Shem. So not Ham, not Japheth, the Westerners, America and Europe, all of them came out of Japheth, but Persians and Jews out of Shem. So God revealed the name through Arphaxad and Abraham and David, and then Jesus was born, and he died on the cross, he became the savior of all people. So all the nations can get saved through Shem, through Jesus. You put your trust in Jesus Christ, you'll be blessed. So that's the big introduction to Persia. So Elam was the founder of. So we have a long history. It goes back all the way to the flood. We have a long history. So Elam, and the first king was King Cyrus, who established a kingdom, not Islamic government, but a kingdom there. So Cyrus was the meaning was like the sun, which goes back to his religion. They worship the sun, the light and darkness. So in his time, about 600 BC, we had the first religion, Zoroaster, or we call him Zartosht. He was the founder of Zoroastrianism. So, this is not a true picture of him because it goes back to 600 BC. So that's just a painting, and he looked like glorious. But he was a false prophet anyway. So they believed in dualism, meaning two gods, good God and evil God. Ahura Mazda was good God, rising from the east where sun arise. And then Ahura Mayu or Ahriman, we call him, evil God from the west where the sun sets. So when they saw this light coming up in the morning, they thought that there is good God. Good God is causing these lights and everything. Good things happens in the world. And also evil God. You know, when they saw that sun is setting every afternoon, getting dark and everything, they thought this is evil God. There is evil God called Ahriman. So they believed in two gods. So have you heard about Mazda car? Anybody has a Mazda card? So if you have a Mazda car, I'm not saying that your car is a demon possessed. I'm not saying that. So They believe that humans have pure freedom to decide which side to take in cosmic struggle, good or evil. All will be held accountable for choices. Humans born innocent and sinless, humans can achieve perfection in this life. And ethical conduct determines one's eternal destiny. In other words, if you're a good person, you're going to go to heaven. If you're a bad person, you're going to end up going to hell. That's the same as all other religions. All of them say, if you're a good person, you're going to go to heaven. Bad, you'll be in hell. But we know that that's not true. Because there is none good, no, not one. There is no God, nobody is righteous in the sight of God. And we all have sinned against God. So by doing good, we can't go to heaven. That's why Jesus had to come to pay the penalty of our sins on the cross. He died. He covered our sins. So you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you'll be saved from hell. Then you'll be in heaven. Without Jesus Christ, there is no life. The life is in Jesus. All the life comes from Jesus. Outside Jesus Christ, there is death. You'll be cursed without Jesus Christ in hell. But thank God for the blessing that comes from Jesus Christ. Not only he saves us from hell, but in this life he blesses us. He changes our hearts and he gives us new life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So this is fundamentals of Zoroastrianism. Good deed, good thought, and good word. So try to be good. Without help of God, you can't do this. You need to have Holy Spirit to be good and righteous and justified before God. So there is a prophecy about King Cyrus in Isaiah, which was written about 720 BC, about 176 years before even Cyrus was born. So let's look at this prophecy. Thus says the Lord, L-O-R-D in capital, that's Jehovah in Hebrew. Jehovah, he say to his anointed. Anointed in Hebrew is Mashiach or Messiah. Means it's not the Christ, the Son of the living God. Anointed or Messiah means the chosen one. God chose Cyrus to do something. To do what? To deliver his people out of Babylonian captivity. So he thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-lipped gates, and the gates shall not be shut. So why did God choose Cyrus? It tells us in verse 4. Why? For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect. So because of Israel, God's chosen people, God chose Cyrus to deliver them out of Babylonian captivity, which Jeremiah told the children of Israel that they'll be in land of captivity in Babylon for 70 years. And after 70 years, the king of East will come and he's going to deliver you. That's Cyrus. So anyway, so he said, because of my Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, daughter has not known me. God is saying, King Cyrus, you didn't know me. You believed in Ahura Mazda and Auro Menu, which is not a true God. You didn't know me, but I called you. I gave you name. I have surnamed you. So King, the name Cyrus was not a common name in Iran that time. It was a local name. But God is able to give us secret things and give us the names even before things happen. So he said, verse 5, I am the Lord, I am Jehovah, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I love to read Isaiah 40 to 48. God saw that there was nobody glorifying God, so he started to glorify himself. He said, I am the Lord. There is none else. And there is nobody beside me. And verse 6, that they may know. Look at this. Now he mentioned his name, but he mentions now his religion. That they may know, that people might know that from the rising of the sun, that's good God, Ahura Mazda, and from the west, that's evil God, Auro Menu, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Not Ahura Mazda or Ahura Menu, King Cyrus. I called you. I gave you your name, and I'm going to use you. So he's mentioning his religion and also his name. Isn't God amazing? He gives us the end from the beginning. This is our God. It's amazing that you read the prophecies, about prophecies, what's going to happen in the future. Everything, God has told us what's going to happen. God has told us where we will be in the future. I know where I'm going to be next 1,000 years. I know where I'm going. Praise the Lord. Do you? I hope you do tonight. So somehow, King Cyrus believed in Zoroastrianism, good God and evil God. But Josephus said in his book that one of the Jewish priests showed his name in the Bible. He showed his name in Isaiah, and King Cyrus was shocked. He was astonished to see his name in the Bible. And some scholars say that that was Daniel, because Daniel lived all the way from Babylonian captivity to the king of Persia. So for 70 years, Daniel served the Lord and served God's people. So probably there was Daniel. He showed his name in the Bible, and King Cyrus got saved. How do you know that? Let's read this. Let's see what King Cyrus said. Ezra 1 through verse 3. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. So this is Cyrus is writing this proclamation throughout all his kingdom. You know where he ruled? He ruled all over the world, pretty much. From India, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, and Babylon. He ruled over Egypt, Africa. He ruled over Europe, Greece, and everywhere. He ruled all over the world in 536 BC. So he's writing to all people, to all the world. And he said, the Lord God of heaven. He said, Jehovah, L-O-R-D, capital. That's Jehovah. He said, Jehovah, God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. This is exactly opposite to what King Nebuchadnezzar said. King Nebuchadnezzar was in his palace, and he looked at his palace. He said, isn't this great Babylon that I have builded with my power, with the honor of my majesty? I builded this kingdom. You see how powerful I am? And a voice came from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, your kingdom is departed from thee. Thy dwelling place will be in the field. You're going to eat grass as an oxen. And he was driven away from people. He was in the field eating grass. He was like a cow, like oxen. So after 7 years, he came to his own mind. He said, that's the Lord. God gives us kingdom. He takes away the kingdom from us. So he realized that it wasn't King Nebuchadnezzar, it was God. But King Cyrus, he didn't say, I built this kingdom. He said, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. So he acknowledges Jehovah as the true God. And also he said, and he has charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem. He also, second things, he acknowledges Jerusalem as holy city, the city of God, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? He acknowledges God's people. Who are they? They are the Jews. His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord. Now he acknowledges, number four, the house of the Lord, the temple where God dwelled in the Old Testament. And look at this. The Lord, Jehovah, God of Israel. He said he is the God, which is in Jerusalem. He acknowledged Lord as the true God, Jehovah. He acknowledged Jerusalem and also God's people, the Jews. He acknowledged house of the Lord and God of Israel, who is the God, the only God. Do you think he was saved? He's writing this decree to all people. What is eternal life? Jesus said in John 17, verse 3, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God. So if you know the only true God in New Testament, that's Jesus. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. Well, eternal life is not about the system and the religion or what you do. It's not about that. Eternal life is a person. You need to have that person to have life. Bible tells us, he that hath the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has no life. So if you have Son of God as your Savior, you have eternal life. No Son, no life. So according to what Jesus said in the Old Testament, the name of God, the true God of Bible, was Jehovah. So he said, the Lord God of heaven. And he said, he is the God. Imagine if Donald Trump said on TV and in the media, he said like, Jesus is the only God and Savior. There is nobody else beside him. The only God who is the Savior is Jesus, would you say that he is saved? Absolutely, I would say yes, he is saved, because he is glorifying Jesus. He acknowledges that Jesus is the only God. He's not compromising, saying, yeah, we all worship the same God. Islam, Allah is the same as Jesus. We all worship the same God. No, no, no. He said he is the God. So I hope to see King Cyrus in heaven. Praise the Lord. Wise man after him, 500 years later, wise men came from the east to worship Jesus Christ. And they bowed down, they worshiped Jesus Christ. They acknowledged that Jesus was God and King, and he came to die. They acknowledged by the gifts that they presented. And so many scholars say that they were Persians, these wise men. Some say they were Babylonians, but I agree with those who say that they are Persians. Why? Because I'm a Persian. So they were Persians, absolutely. When I witness to these Muslims, to Persians, and I tell them, look, King, and they love King Cyrus. They love him. I tell them, you know, King Cyrus, he said, the Lord God of heaven, Jehovah, he is the God. He is the God of Israel. You know, in Islam, in Iran, we curse Israel. But he said, God of Israel, he is the God. So he believed in the God of the Bible. So our country started with the God of the Bible. He believed in the God of the Bible. And also, wise men, the first foreigners, first people who came from different country, they acknowledged that Jesus is God. When he was born, they worshipped him. First foreigners were Persians. Before America became a Christian country, Persians were Christians. Before Australia, European became Christians, Iranians became Christians. They said, really? I said, yes. And I tell them, look, five books of the Bible out of 66 books were written in our country. Book of Nehemiah, book of Esther, Ezra, some parts of Daniel, and book of Habakkuk. These five books were written in our country. This book belongs to us. This is partially Persian book. You see that that book, Quran, that's Arabic book. Give it to Arabs. Let them have their own religion. So this is ours. And they hate Arabs. They say, oh yeah, so I don't like Quran. So this is very attractive. They get so interested, they want to come to Christ. Because did you know that Persia, after Israel, is the second most country name mentioned in the Bible? It is. And when you read about Persia, it's always good things. It's always positive. Look, God favors this country, this nation. And I'm so proud to be a Persian. Praise the Lord. So on the day of Pentecost, this about 14 different nations, different nationalities, they came on the day of Pentecost to participate this feast of Pentecost. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 9, we read that, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Who were there? The first one, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia. So look at these three different nations, and Parthians and Medes and Elamites. If you look at this map, this is the old map of, this is kingdom of Cyrus. He ruled all over India, Pakistan, Iran, and Asia Minor, Turkey, and Europe, Greece, and here you have Egypt and Israel there, and you've got Africa and Libya. So he ruled all over the world. But this is map of Iran today. And this is Elamites. And this is Parthians, Parthia, and the Persians, Medians. So they were Persians. But later on, it became just one country. All of them joined together and became one country, Persia, Iran, we call them. So these people went all the way from Iran to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Those three wise men, they went from Iran all the way to Jerusalem to worship Jesus Christ. So this on the day of Pentecost, these Persians went there and they heard the gospel. Apostle Peter preached the gospel. He spoke in tongues, in a language that everybody could understand. Everybody from Iran, from India, from Africa, all people came. They heard the gospel in their own language. They understood it. They got saved. And when they got saved, what happened? They went back to their country. in Iran, they preach the gospel. And when you preach the gospel, what happens? People get saved. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. So people got saved in the first century in Iran. Persians got saved. A lot of them got saved. And later on, when they got saved, they were persecuted by Zoroastrianists. The Zoroastrianists, they were so evil. They were like worse than Muslims. They would kill Christians terribly. They would torture them. And then later on in 650 AD, when Muslims invaded our country by force, they forced Persians to become Muslims. Islam never brings religion by peace to say our religion is religion of peace. Come on, believe in our religion. They never say that. And they always, to start with, they invaded countries after countries. They killed men, they raped women, take these girls as slaves. And that's how Islam came to our country by force. Islam means surrender. Surrender or die. You have to choose one of those two. You have to surrender to be Muslim or die. So many of Persians died. Those Christians, they said to Christians, surrender or die. Many of them didn't surrender. So they said, I'm not going to deny Jesus. So they were persecuted later on by Muslims. First by Zoroastrians, later on by Muslims. Christians, poor Christians, they always get persecuted. So according to Hippolytus, who was the 3rd century historian, he said that 6 disciples of Jesus Christ, Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, and James, the son of Alphaeus, Lebius or Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, they went to our country, Parthia and Persia. They preached the gospel in our country, in Iran or Iran. And 3 of them were martyred in our country. Six out of 12 went to our country. They went many places, as far as India. They went many countries, but they also went to our country. They preached the gospel. So many Persians got saved in first century. And Adai, who was the Messianic Jew, he preached and founded an evangelistic church in Erbil, in Mesopotamia, in 104 AD, which is here. This is Erbil. That was like a Bible college. They would train people there to send out from there to plant churches, to get the gospel out. So in the first few centuries, Iran was like America. They would send out a lot of missionaries to go around the world to preach the gospel. And one of Persians, who was a doctor, and he got saved, and he was trained, and he went to Japan. He led the queen of Japan to the Lord in the 5th century. Many of them went to China. A lot of Persians went to India. They preached the gospel. So it was like America today, the first few centuries. But now, the door is closed. You can't even go to Iran to preach the gospel. They don't let you go and plant. There is no public churches there. So the door is closed. That's why I can't go back to my country. It's been 13 years now. Haven't seen my country because of Islam. They kill you for your conversion. So Syriac documents indicate that towards the beginning of the 3rd century, the Christians in the Persian territories had some 360 churches and many martyrs. We have many churches standing there from the first few centuries. Like this is Church of Julfa in Isfahan. If you go there, you'll be able to visit this church. Almost 2,000 years old from the first century. This is another church in Iran. This is a big church in Maku in Iran, Taktavus Church. A big building, very old building, still there. Standing there, almost 2,000 years old. So that tells me that there were many Christians in the 2nd century. Another church in Iran, in Azerbaijan, very close to where I was born. So Shah of Iran. Shah means king. The first king was King Cyrus. The last king of Iran was Shah of Iran. So we always had kingdom in our country. We never had Islamic country, Islamic government. So in his time, we had freedom. Our country was one of the top wealthiest countries. We had freedom, we had wealth, we had prosperity, everything. People were well off. And this is his family. He died about 20 or something years ago. And his wife is still alive. And this is his son. They live in America today. And his son wants to go back and reestablish his father's kingdom. But he's hopeless. He needs power. He needs support to be able to go back and reestablish. So I hope that one day he could go back. he would turn Iran to a better country if he could. But anyway, so in his time, in Shah's time, $1 was 70 rial. 70. Remember this. In his time, it was 70 rial. So very good economy. So in his time, in 1970s, Iran, we didn't have hijab. This is people, like, they look like Americans, you know, I mean, the face of Iran and everything. We had freedom. Iran was Islamic country, but they didn't practice Islam much. They were like liberal, not strict. So this is typical Persian couple in 1970s. And then there are four prophecies about the end of our country, which is very interesting. In Jeremiah 49, it tells us what's going to happen to Iran, which is happening right now. I am the part of this prophecy. I'm the fulfillment of this prophecy. Mahyar is the fulfillment of this prophecy. Let's read this. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against Elam. Where is Elam? That's our country. Maybe how many of you knew where Elam was? Hand up. Just one? Okay. Now, next time when you read this passage in Jeremiah, this is Elam, this is Persia. Now you're going to know what you're reading now. Praise the Lord. So against Elam, this is a prophecy about Iran, our country. In the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might, and upon Elam, means God is going to break their might, Iranians, I mean the government's might. Upon Elam will bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and number one prophecy, what's going to happen? And will scatter them, this is Iranians, the people, is going to scatter Iranians toward all those winds, and there shall be no nation whether the outcasts of Elam shall not come. So God is saying that I'm going to do something, I'm going to cause something that a lot of Iranians will flee country. They would flee to other country, other nations. And it calls outcast. That means God is going to bring somebody who's going to cast these people out. Cast them out for some. We don't like you. You're a Christian. You don't belong to us. He's going to cast them out. We had Jews. We had over 1 million Jews lived in Iran in Shah's time. Because when King Cyrus defeated Babylon, and he said to Jews, go up to Jerusalem and rebuild the house of the Lord. And he gave them silver and gold, and he supported them to go back. And some of them went back under the leadership of Zerubbabel and Ezra. They rebuilt the house of the Lord later on. But many of them didn't go back. They stayed there because they said, this is a great king. This is so kind. He's like a Messiah. So they stayed in our country for 2,500 years almost. So they stayed there until Ayatollah came. In Shah's time, we had Jews lived in Iran. But when Ayatollah came, according to Islam, Quran tells us that Christians and Jews are worst of all creatures. Worst of all creatures. Like animals are creatures of God, but Christians and Jews are worse than animals. So if you're sitting here, according to Quran, you are worse than a dog. That's sad. God has created us in His image. It's amazing how the religious book can bring you down worse than animal. That's blasphemy against God. Did you know that? Quran blasphemes against God of heaven. I hate Quran. It's so evil, so wicked book. So these Jews, they stayed there. But when Ayatollah came, they had to flee. They ran away to fulfill the prophecy that God said in the Old Testament. In the end time, I'm going to gather my people from all over the world and will bring them to their own land. Why? Because the king is coming. Jesus is coming. He's going to reign and establish his kingdom on earth, reigning from Jerusalem. So there has to be the nation of Israel there. So God fulfilled his prophecy through this evil man called Ayatollah. So he came and he gave speech. He gave promises. He said, I'm going to give you freedom of religion, free education, free medication. I'm going to put food on your table for free so you can enjoy it. Everything free. And people said, oh, wow, this is great, man. This is a good leader. Yes, be our leader and reign over us. Have you heard any politicians telling you the truth, giving you all the promises, keeping his word, except Donald Trump? Whatever he says, he does. He's a dangerous man. But anyway, so he gave promises, and after a few months, people realized that he's not fulfilling his promises. A few years passed by and nothing happened. No, nothing for free. Everything, he charged even more. And then people went on the street protesting against him, saying, "Where is your promise? You told us to give us free education, medication, everything free. Where is that?" And according to Islam, according to Quran, you can't protest against Muslims. You can't protest against the Muslim leader. If you do that, you'll be killed. Quran tells that kill those who protest against mullahs, against Muhammad, and against Islam. So what he did, he obeyed Quran. What did he do is he killed 4,000 people on one day. He shot them to death. He imprisoned them, killed them. And people realized that, man, this is... They thought that he's going to bring this godliness and God and everything free, freedom. And we already had freedom. These people, I don't know what they're not people never happy. You have everything in America. God has given you all the blessings. You have freedom. You have money and opportunities and everything. Most people, even Christians, are miserable. Did you know that? Did you notice that? They look for more. Give us more. They were not happy, so they wanted more. And then the troubles came. So he shot them to death. He killed them. He brought hijab and everything now. Women had to have hijab. And we had Christians, preachers. They were martyred. Because according to Islam, Christians are infidels. And he martyred these preachers in Iran. And he hung Christians. And persecution started. And we didn't have a lot of Christians in Shah's time. Because when we were prosperous and we had freedom and everything, Christians were not doing so well. So in 1979, when Ayatollah took over, we had only 500 born-again Christians, they said. We had a lot of Catholics. Even still, we have Catholic churches in Iran. They can worship, no problem, because they're not different than Muslims. They have same religion. They're sisters. Islam and Catholicism are the same religion, almost the same, identical. We have very many things in common. Like we have rosary. We say... We say like, peace be upon Muhammad, peace be upon Muhammad. Rosary, you know, the beads that you say, hail to Mary, not you, but Catholics, hail to Mary, hail Mary, hail Mary, hail Mary. By repeating, we think that we're going to get reward. So we have a lot of things in common. We pray to saints, to dead Muhammad. Catholics pray to saints. So anyway, so only 500 born-again Christians in Iran. So not doing well. Because Christians had everything, so they were well off. They were not fervent to serve the Lord, to preach the gospel. So Christians were sleeping. So he closed down all the churches, shut down the churches, and he tried to wipe off Christianity from face of Iran. Ayatollah wanted to destroy Christianity, make country 100% Islamic country. That's what he tried to do. And he brought 8 years of war with Iraq. So this... Many reasons caused people to flee. Because of this 8 years of war, a lot of people fled. They went to America and Europe. And some people were, we had singers, they would sing. According to Islam, music is not kosher. It's not allowed. So singers fled. They went to America. And Jews fled. And a lot of officials, they fled. Their lives were in danger. So many of them fled to fulfill the prophecy in Jeremiah 49. So those who had money, they fled by airplane, but by visa and everything. But those who didn't have enough money, they went illegally. It's still happening. A lot of them go to our countries illegally on a boat. Look at this. This is happening a lot of times. And on a small boat, like maybe 20 people can only have on that boat. But look at how many people. You got like almost 500 people, I think. Many of them drown in water. They die. They can't make their own way to where they go. And some they do. And so wherever they went, in Europe, in America, this is a church in Netherlands. The churches reached out to them. So God knows what he's doing. Persecution is always good. Suffering, trials, they're always good for us. It causes good things. So these people, the Persians, they went Europe, and some of them got saved. Now these are Persians. They worshiping, they singing, and this is a church in London. Now a lot of Persians got saved there, and the pastor couldn't baptize them all. He gave authorities to deacons to baptize in a pool, baptism. A lot of people got baptized in London, and I was one of them. That I went to Australia, and thank God for this man, Keith Piper. He shared the gospel with me, and I knew that I was a sinner, and when he shared the gospel with me, and I realized that Jesus is God, not a prophet. He died on the cross for my sins and rose again, and I put my trust in Jesus. I said, Lord Jesus, save me. I'm a sinner. I believe that you died for me. Would you save me? When I called on his name, he saved me, changed my life. He called me to Bible college, and I started to work with Pastor Piper, and we led a lot of Muslims to the Lord in Sydney. So a lot of Persians who came from Iran to Australia, Pastor and I have led over 2,000 people. I personally have led over 500 people to the Lord, but with Pastor over 2,000. Just two of us. Over 2,000 Muslims got saved. You know, God knows what he's doing. He saves souls. So we go on street and downtown. We hand out tracts, share the gospel with people. This man, Majid, he was a drug addict. I led him to the Lord. Now he's on fire. He goes to Bible college there and he serves the Lord. He is so faithful. It's amazing how the Lord can change us. So I witnessed to this man. He got saved. He said, I've got a friend who is not saved. Can you witness to him? I said, sure, bring him along. So he brought his friend and I shared the gospel with him. He prayed and asked Jesus to save him. He got saved. He was born again. He got baptized. And this is happening all the time. They come, they got saved, and they bring their friends. Their friends got saved, on their relatives and family members. They come and they get saved. So we had bus ministry. Many of them came. They were refugees. They came on a boat. They didn't have any job, no income, nothing. So they didn't have vehicles to come to church. So I was picking them up all the time to bring them to church, witness to them. And so we had bus ministry and we discipled them. Those new converts, those who got saved, we discipled them in a class. And three times a week, three times we have Bible studies on Sunday evening, Sunday afternoon, on Tuesday and also on Thursday. So we had English service, but I started Farsi service in 2012, and it's going on right now. The man that I led to the Lord 6 years ago, he took over, now he's leading the church. So we had baptism every 3-4 months. About 61 new converts got baptized. They're lining up to be baptized. Always, every 3-4 months, we have 60, 70 people getting baptized. So those who went to other countries, they fled and they fulfilled the promise, the prophecy of Jeremiah 49. They got saved. Some of them started a ministry to reach out to their own people. So they couldn't go back to Iran. What do you do? How do you reach them? Through media. So they started, some of them started satellite TV station, Christian channel. So this man, who is called Pastor Hormoz Shariat, he started Iran Alive Ministries. And he's reaching Iran. It's been like 20, 25 years now. He's reaching out to people. And his channel has 7 to 9 million viewers. And I was called to come and preach the gospel. I went to Atlanta, Georgia. I recorded sermons. I go there every 3-4 months. I have to go there and record sermons. And last month in December, I was there in Georgia and I recorded 92 messages. And since last May, they started airing my programs through satellite TV into Iran. So people have coming to Christ through just watching Christian channels. So three countries speaking Farsi, Iran and Afghanistan and Tajikistan, 110 million in total. They speak in Farsi. So in Iran, it's against the law to have a satellite dish. It's illegal. You can't have satellite dish. It's so totally against the law. Do you see any satellite dish there? Can you see any satellite dish? Gospel goes to our country through this plate, through this dish. You know, this represents gospels, this satellite. It's amazing. God used the donkey in the Old Testament. Now God uses these dishes now. to get the message into Iran. And there are a lot of people, 75% of people have satellite dishes. That means 60 out of 80 million have access to satellite dishes. You might say, what about those 20 million? Well, they go to the other people who have satellite dishes to watch Christian channels. It's big. Satellite dish is very big in Iran. Everybody, almost everybody has it. They want to watch sports, and because the girls can go to stadium, so they watch, they tune into the world. They can watch the Fox and sport and everything, soccer, and they love soccer, so they tune in through satellite dish to watch sport and Hollywood movie, and also they tune in sometimes. They see, wow, there's like somebody's preaching, somebody's talking differently. A message of the gospel. And so the authorities, they come, they take the dishes down, and all the time they give fines to people. But what happens that, look at him, he picked it up. Now he bought a new one. So they keep buying back. And then when they watch, they tune in the Christian channel, they watch, and they get saved. They get saved, and they bring their relatives and friends and family members. Slowly this one person becomes two and three and four. They gather slowly in a house. Underground churches get started. And they worship together in a house without churches, without pastors or missionaries. This is their pastor, TV. I met a Persian couple in Texas about a few months ago, three or four months ago, in a restaurant, just accidentally. I noticed that they looked like Persian. I said, are you Persian? And they said, yes. Salam Chetori. And hi, how are you? And so we started to speak in Farsi, and I noticed that they were Persians. They were Christians. And I said, how did you become Christians? And they said, we were watching a Christian channel in Iran 10 years ago, and we prayed and received Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we got saved. And I said, wow, did you go to a church or something? They said, yes, we were going to an underground church. And I said, how many people were going there? And he said, 240 people gathering secretly, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. This is happening. You know, how do they do that? Well, this is like one of the ways is like they decorate the front door and everything. Like there is birthday party going on, music and everything. So that people would think that they are having birthday party. But there is another party there. There is party for the Lord. They have music for the Lord. They worship Jesus Christ. That people won't notice that they gathering for worshiping Jesus Christ. They think that they're having birthday party. So this is the ways that they found the ways to gather and worship, and they get saved. We have a lot of underground churches in Iran. A lot. There's no public church, but many of them. Last year, this government found 200 underground churches in Mashhad. Mashhad is a religious city. It's a city that 8th Imam's tomb is there. It's got a shrine and people, it's a very religious city. Most people are very radical, strict Muslims in that city. But 200 underground churches were found in that city. I couldn't believe it. If you said Tehran, the capital, I said, yes, maybe. But Mashhad? I said, no way. But God is using the satellite dishes. Even in religious city like Mashhad, people are coming to Christ. They're getting saved. And so they gather in the house and they worship. Maryam and Marzia, two young girls, they got saved and they distributed 20,000 Bibles before they were arrested. They were arrested, put in jail, and they were tortured. And even in prison, they were so bold, witnessing to those who were in prisons. And many of them got saved because of these two girls in prison. And so they were kind of, they were released finally and came to America. They have written a book. Some of you might have read their story. Maryam and Marzia, they're called. So Majid got saved and he was arrested and they told him, renounce Jesus Christ, renounce your faith. And he said, no. He said, I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm not going to deny him. I'm proud to be a Christian. And he's smiling. He knows where he's going. He knows that when he dies, a few minutes, he's going to be with his Lord in heaven. So they don't care about death. They're not afraid of death. They're bold. They know that if you become a Christian, that means death. You might die. So they accept that risk to receive Jesus as their Savior. And so Ayatollah came and
Look at this, US dollar was 70. What happened? 110,000. This presentation is a few months old. It's even more. 150,000 real, is it? I think 150,000 now. So he destroyed our economy in Iran. So people were suffering already. They have less income and expenses are so high. People are so bad. You know, economy is so bad. So he caused everything to be destroyed. And because of sanction that we have lately, America gave us big sanction that caused more suffering, more. The life is getting so difficult in Iran. So people have lost everything. So they have, they go on the street. Now they say death to dictator, death to Ayatollah. Before this, they would not say any negative about Ayatollah. If you said anything, they would kill you. But now they bold. They don't care about anything. They have lost everything. So there's nothing to lose. So they go on the street. They protest. They say, we don't want Islamic government anymore. They hate Islam because they could see that Islam destroyed our country. When Ayatollah came in 1979, he literally destroyed our country. So they coming out of Islam, and they don't want Islamic government anymore. So that opens the door of the gospel. They go on the street protesting against government all the time. This is happening almost every day. In different cities. So we continue with the prophecy in Jeremiah. The second prophecy is verse 37. For I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies, which we have a lot of enemies. They are dismayed. You know, this Ayatollah and the official, they are very fearful because a lot of countries have threatened our country, like America. And Donald Trump is threatening our country. And Israel and many European countries, countries are against our country. So, and then verse, next one, verse 38 is third prophecy. And I will set my throne in Elam and will destroy from thence the king and the princess, says the Lord. So Jehovah is saying that I'm going to travel to Elam, to Iran, and he's going to set his throne. So we know that in New Testament, Jesus is coming back. He's going to judge the nations. That's called judgment of nations, sheep and the goat. He's going to come and he's going to judge. He's going to travel personally to our country. Jesus is going to Iran. He's going to set his throne, to sit it on his throne. This is throne of judgment. What is he trying to do? He's going to judge. When he judged Ayatollah, he said it will destroy from thence the king, which is Ayatollah, and the princes, which are officials, says the Lord. So he's going to destroy Islam, this mullahs, Ayatollah, who oppress people. But the fourth prophecy is brilliant. It's just a good future for Iran. But it shall come to pass in the latter days, in end time, when Jesus comes back, what's going to happen? That I will bring again the captivity of Elam, says the Lord. I will bring them again. That means the captivity, that's me. I live in the land of captivity. This is not my land. This is not my home. America is not my home. I'm Iranian. So I live in the land of captivity. But when Jesus comes back, I will bring them again. I'm going to go back to my country to plant church and serve the Lord. So looking forward to that day when Jesus comes back. So it's been 39 years, almost 40 years now, that Ayatollah came and he tried to destroy Christianity. But can you stop the work of God? Can you stop the gospel? No, you can't. He tried to wipe off Christianity, destroy it. We had 500 born-again Christians. He wanted to destroy all the Christianity and everything. After 39 years of persecution, what was the result of Islam coming to our country? It's likely that more Muslims are coming to Christ in Iran than any other place in the world. If you Google what country is the fastest church-growing country, what country in the world? It's not America. It's not Australia. Not Europe. It's Iran. How? With no churches? No pastors, no missionaries. So today in Iran, there are an estimated 7 million born-again Christians. That means 1 out of 11. 7 million. We had 500 born-again when we were free. Not true freedom, but in Shah's time. But when Islam came and brought persecution and trials and everything, now Christians were bold. They got saved. They Christians witnessed to people, and also the satellite TV and radio, they reached out to people, and many people got saved through media. So today, Christianity growth rate in Iran is 20% per year in Iran. That means doubling every 4 years. Imagine if you have 200 people in your church, with that rate, with 20% per year, 200 people in 4 years, it's gonna be, in 4 years, it's gonna be 400 years. Another 4 years, 800. Another 4 years, 1600. That means in 12 years, you can have 1600 people with that rate. Would you like to have 1600 people in your church? That's the rate. It's not happening in America, but it's happening in Iran. And I believe that in within 20 to 30 years, majority of Iran will be Christians. If it goes like this, if we don't stop preaching the gospel, if we don't stop this preaching through media, entire Iran will be a Christian country in 30 years. So praise the Lord. So why do we witness to people? Why do we get this gospel out? So that people can get to know Jesus as their Savior and get saved and glorify God. Look at this, Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So God has created us for His own pleasure and for His own glory. So, but people, heathen, they don't know God, they don't know Jesus. How can they glorify God without knowing Him? So that's why we have God, Jesus has given us great commission to get the gospel out, to preach the gospel to every creature so that people can, this heathen, can get to know God and glorify Him. And I'm going to finish with this verse, Psalm 96, verse 2 to 8. Bible tells us, sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation, how long? From day to day, every day. Declare His glory among the heathen. Among the heathen, those who don't know Jesus. Declare His glory, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations, gods of Iran, gods of Afghanistan, India, are what? Idols. Their gods are idols. They're not true gods because there is only one God. But the Lord, means Jehovah, God of the Bible, who is Jesus Christ, He made the heavens. So all the gods of the nations are idols. So we need to tell these heathens, the nations, to know the true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6, honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. So God wants glory. Give Him glory. And He has right to be glorified. Why? Because He owns everything. He created us. He has every right to be glorified by us. So He wants glory. What do we have to do? We have to get the gospel out and share the gospel with people. This area, Manjoy, in all the state and everywhere, we have to preach the gospel. Be faithful to the great commission that Jesus has given us so that God can be glorified. So we come, we worship Jesus, we glorify Him, but many people don't. And they are lost and going to hell. We need to have mercy on them. Get this simple message so they can get saved. And at the end, I'm going to ask or pray request. Pray for the salvation of my family again. Pray for my media ministry to have a great impact on salvation of many Farsi-speaking people. And pray for planting of many Persian Baptist churches around the world. And pray for provision of monthly support as I'm doing deputation with Baptist World Mission. And that's my prayer request. And that's the end of my presentation. Let's just close in prayer. Let's close. Father, we thank You, Lord, for saving souls in Iran and, Lord, in many countries. Lord, You work so hard. And Lord, help us to learn from You and to be committed to the gospel, the ministry of the gospel, that we might be faithful, that when You come back, that we might have confidence, not to be ashamed. Lord, I pray that You would give us burden, give us compassion to love people, to love nations, and to love Persians and Arabs and Chinese and Indians and all people, because they all were created by You, Lord, and You have compassion on them. Lord, thank You for
this church, and thank you for the pastor here. Lord, I pray that you would bless them and bless the church and help us, Lord, all to be committed to you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.